Right now, I've started a series, well, I started it last week, just coming out of the recognition that God's doing some things in the earth. And I think it's a cry of all of us, Lord, I want to be where you want me to be. I want to be part of what you're doing in the earth. We live in exciting times. So many people want to live back in the time of Acts or back when Jesus was on earth. But you know what? You are privileged to be in this generation, alive on planet Earth at this time. Because we are on the verge of something amazing. We are the right people at the right time in the right place. And I'm glad to see some people are saying yes to that. So I want to carry on with this series, just asking, God, what are you up to? What are you doing? I don't pretend to have all the answers. But there's a couple of things that I sense that God is up to, and I want to share them with you. So last week, we talked about the fact that God is calling us to prayer and a place of encounter. And last week, I really wanted to zero in on some of the ways that we disqualify ourselves. Because some of us see prayer and encountering God as for those spiritual people over there. No, it's for the whole body. All of us are meant to be people of prayer. All of us are meant to be people who know what it is to encounter God. And we're going to speak some more about this, probably the next series that I'm going to be doing. But let me start by saying, what do we mean by encounter? Well, an encounter is awareness of the person or presence of God. It can sometimes just be that thought, oh wow, God, you're awesome. Right through to where you have a powerful encounter and, you know, we think of people falling out under the power, doing whatever. We think that's encounter. Yes, it is. But just that recognition when you look at a beautiful sunset or you're with God and you're just driving along in the car and you're just like, oh, Lord, you love me. That too is an encounter. And we are a people of encounter. In fact, I believe that we are meant to encounter the whole Godhead. And they're one. And yet they're different. When you encounter Father, there is this amazing sense of acceptance, belonging, loved. You just feel like that little kid that's just picked up and cuddled on Papa's lap. Encountering Jesus is a little bit different. I can only share out of my experiences and yours might be slightly different, but for me, when I encounter Jesus, it's an incredible sense of how loved I am. It's like you're just looking in the eyes of liquid love and you just feel drawn into that and you feel him wooing you to go deeper, to totally trust him. Whereas the Holy Spirit, encountering him is different again. I kind of think that encountering the Holy Spirit is like having the wind in your face. Sometimes it's gentle. Other times it's strong. Other times it's overwhelming. Encountering Holy Spirit is an adventure. And I believe that we're called into this place of encounter. And I probably could talk about it for the rest of the meeting, but I feel to first of all start this year and just touch on four areas that I believe Papa is calling the body of Christ into. So we're going to come back and speak more about Encounter in a few weeks' time. But I want to move on into the second aspect that I feel Papa is moving us into. In fact, I believe he's been doing this for quite a wee while. And that is placing us in families. It's a mindset change in the body of Christ. And Papa's been kind. He's been slowly doing it over the years so that we can adjust to what he's doing. Who heard Rob Packer's message last year about, he did like a parable, and about the mansion on the hill and about living in the factory? Okay, that was a powerful message. But I believe it's a message that doesn't just speak to us as individuals, but I believe it speaks corporately. And if you didn't hear that message, it's on the website. You can go back and listen to it. But I believe that God is taking us out of factory and bringing us into family. And there's a huge difference between factory Christianity and family Christianity. I don't know what your mansion on the hill looked like. I had spent a long time trying to find a place on a hill that looked like a beautiful mansion. It's the closest I could get. Factories, they're easy to find a picture of. But why is it important? Well, I believe that there's a very good reason why it's important. And that is because factories produce workers, whereas families raise sons. And that's why Papa is changing. I mean, we call him Papa. The Lord's Prayer, our Father who is in heaven, not our boss, our CEO, our master who is in heaven. No, Jesus said, our Father. The government of heaven is family-based. And yet we've been like Egypt. We've structured around the world system. And God's changing that. And again, takes a mindset change. And I'm going to go through some things this morning. And right off bat, let me say this. As I go through some things between the difference between being in a factory church and a family church, some of you are going to be able to look back over your history as a Christian and go, dear God, I was in a factory. I encourage you to recognize that those who ran factory churches were doing the best they knew how to do. See, part of the challenge of where we're at and where we're going is there's not much of a model out there because it's all so new. And most of us model what we do after the examples that have been set for us. We parent the way that we were parented, because that's our model. God's changing the model. So there's not much in the way of examples to follow after. So it's a little bit hard. But my big encouragement to you is don't step into judgment. Don't go, oh, well, bless God, that was a factory. I'm so pleased I'm out of there. No, just say, Lord, they did the best, and I thank you that you are leading us into what you are doing in the planet. So I'm going to contrast factories and families, and I'm going to tell you some of our stories. And I'm sure if you had the microphone, you'd have some stories too. So let's have a look at this. Factory versus family. Well, factory produce workers who do. Family raise sons who belong. And I mean daughters as well. So ladies, just don't have enough room to put sons and daughters. Very big difference between workers and sons. And God's looking for sons. Again, I'm not quite sure what your experience is like. But in the first church Ray and I were in when we were newly married, Ray worked part-time so that he could bless the church with the music department. Church didn't actually really care much about music. That's another story in itself. But it got to the stage where we felt God was calling us to move, and we actually ended up going with an American evangelist to Hawaii to help start a church there. Before we were going to do that, we were going to go to Brisbane to his training school. The man's name is Clark Taylor. And he was coming to New Zealand and he was having some ministers' meetings. So we had already organised that we were leaving the church. Pastor knew that we were going with this American evangelist, that we were starting a church in Hawaii, that we were going to go to this man's ministry training school. So Joe, who we were with, said, Clark is having these pastors and leaders meetings. I want you to come along. Okay, sounded really good. So we went and we told our then pastor about going along to the pastors and leaders meeting. His immediate response was, you can't go there. You don't belong in that meeting. You're not a pastor. I was like, okay, but that's where we're going. That's what God's training us for. No, you can't go along. You don't belong there. We explained that Joe wanted us there, and his response was, oh, all right, but sit in the back and keep quiet. The message was, you're workers. That everyone's thinking, I know, Ray, did he sit in the back and did he keep quiet? See, we were in a factory. In a factory, there's workers, there's management, and there's a big gap between workers and management. And we were daring to cross that line. Some of you, I know, will have similar tales. Number two, factory primarily benefits the owner. Family benefits all. In fact, if you know, if you're a parent, you'll know that as a parent, the family benefits most the next generation. Because as parents, you're pouring into your kids. Your heart is to raise them up. You think about your needs second, not first. But a factory is all about whoever is leading the factory. A factory church is about the person up the front and their vision, and everybody there is to fulfill his or her vision. That is the understanding of a factory church. We're all on this earth together so that you can help me fulfill God's plan for my life. It's all right, we can just nod. God's moving us on. Factory, set focused and told goals. It's a carry on from the one before. The focus of this place is this. Our goals are that. Whereas in a family, you encourage your kids to dream and to dream big. That's what a family is about. It's about the different members of that family learning who they are. And yes, they're together, and yes, together matters. But every person matters in a family. Obviously, as I'm going through this, I'm talking about good, solid, functional families. If you haven't come from one like that, then just know that your heart carries that dream for a functional, good family, and that is the body of Christ. This is what we're called to. We're called to be family. I'm going to go right down, and at the end, you'll see all of them up there. I notice a few of you wanting to take photos. That's great. If you wait to the end, I'll tell you in there at the end before I change the slide, and you can take a photo if you want. Okay, in a factory, emphasis is on conformity. I nearly put a picture up there for you of factory workers, but you can see them, you can spot them. They all look the same, they all dress the same, they're all walking in the same direction, they're all doing the same things. It happens in the natural with families, and it happens in factory churches. In factory churches, most people come out looking the same. Again, that's what the body of Christ has believed that we're meant to be producing. If I do a good job as a leader, I will make you look exactly like me. But God is changing mindsets. God is saying, no, I didn't make any fingerprints the same. I haven't made any eyes the same. I made you to be you. And in a family, you can be celebrated for being you. That's why I believe God is changing us to a family mentality. In a factory, everybody has their own little job to do. You do your job, and then you go home. In a family, everybody helps one another because we're family. If this dish is to be done, there may be a roster. And the roster may or may not work. But it's family. In a factory, unity is through agreement. You think like I think. If you don't think like I think, then there's the door. Because you're dangerous if you don't think the way we think. And this is one of the reasons why Papa has been changing our mentality of how we do church from factory to family. I don't know about you, but in a lot of families, there are people with totally different political views. I heard a couple of, yeah. You're still family. You don't have to think the same in a family. You can have a slightly different opinion. Now, there are characteristics of every family. There are values of every family. And people know whether they fit within their family or not. And sometimes people choose to leave their family because they don't feel like they fit in their family. And the body of Christ is made up of different families. See, the Hebrew style of government was family. You read your Old Testament and it talks about tribes and families. The tribes were different. The tribe of Judah was a tribe of praise. That's what Judah means. Tribe of Benjamin were a tribe of warriors. the different tribes had different characteristics to them, and there's different churches that carry different characteristics. It's part of who that tribe or that family is. And sometimes it's a case of finding out, who is my tribe? Where do I fit? Where do I belong? But I believe that our unity is meant to come from our relationship. This is my family. These are my people. And not because we all think the same. Factory, expected to fit in. Family, raised to stand out. You raise your kids to be champions. You raise them to be the best possible them that they can be. That's the heart of family. You don't hear fathers saying to kids, oh, you better not be as good as I am. That would be weird, right? I don't want you better at school than me. No, every parent thinks, I hope you go further. I hope you do better. You stand on my shoulders. What's your dream? I'll help you reach your dream. See, God wants families because he wants the body of Christ released. And if we're going to fulfill what God wants us to fulfill in the earth, we have to come from an identity of a son and a daughter of God and not a worker. Jesus talked about himself being the good shepherd, and he compared himself to hirelings. He said hirelings, when they see that it's getting rough, there's a lion or there's a bear or there's problems, there's difficulties, they say, I'm out of here, mate. Where is that good shepherd? That one whose heart is connected. Why? Because they're family. See, what would you do for your family? Nehemiah, in having them rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, he had them build outside their own front door. Why? Because every one of them wanted their family protected. God knows that you will work the hardest for the people you love. That's why he wants lovers, not workers. Yes, that was a good place to say amen. Amen. Last one, if you want to take a photo. Hired and fired in a factory. Measure up or go. Family, developed and nurtured. Before Ray and I returned to New Zealand, we were in a church in California. We weren't on staff, we were just in California trying to make a living, which meant Ray was on the road about 5:36 in the morning because he was a relief teacher in the schools. After school, he was teaching pupils, and he would get home about 9 o'clock at night. So he was up before our then two girls were awake, and he was home after they went to bed. The only time he did not teach pupils after school was on a Wednesday, because Wednesday night we had church. Everybody came along, complete with their kids. The kids had little cots that they were put on, and the parents had a church service. So we had a Wednesday night church service. Saturday morning we had a 5 a.m. prayer meeting. Sunday we had two Sunday services that we attended every week. We were ordained in that church and were being sent back here to New Zealand. So before we went, we're going to leave the country, we decided, well, we'll sit down with this pastor and just, ask him to speak into our life. And we said to him, okay, Is there anything that you want to raise? Anything that you see? Anything that we need to deal with? And he looked at us and he said, there's just one thing. I would question your commitment. And we were like, what? And we said, excuse me? And he said, you were absent one Wednesday night. And Ray was furious. We were leaving the country. And he said to this man, he said, we are leaving the country. And I took one Wednesday night to take my children to Disneyland, which we have never seen, before we leave this country. We were in a factory. Our commitment was not good enough because we missed one Wednesday night in 1.5 years that we were there. We're pretty lenient around here, aren't we? God wants us in families. God wants us in a place where we know that we belong and where we can grow, where we can be who we are, where we know that we're loved and accepted and that we measure up and that people understand that we are people. Where we're not just fulfilling a set, laid down pattern of you must be here and you must do this and you must do that, but we are real people walking a real journey with Jesus. My time's nearly gone, so yeah, I'll mention it. In Acts chapter 2, we have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, tells us that they were praying. And most of us, when we think of Acts chapter 1, that's what we think of. The believers are getting together and they're praying for revival. Do you know that's not the only thing that occurs in Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1, they also deal with the fact that Judas is no longer there to be with the 12, and they appoint somebody else to be in Judas' place. Excuse me. Voice, hold on. So in verse 21, they choose somebody to be in Judas's place. And as you look through that, you see that they say, therefore of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. This is what they are looking for. They are looking for somebody who was a leader who had relationship with Jesus. Relationship is key to what God is bringing us into. And I believe that there will be some unlikely leaders that will start to emerge. But they will have one thing that is common to all of them. They've been with Jesus. And I believe God's calling us up into that. Why? Because there is another move of the Spirit that is going to be released. And the thing that will qualify us is, have we been with Jesus? So let me finish with a passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is Paul speaking, and he gives an insight into the type of leadership that Papa originally intended in a church. Starts with verse 6. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. The pattern of leadership that I believe God is emphasizing in the body of Christ is that of mothers and fathers. Those that carry a heart for the people and are not demanding, well, it's my right, I'm the senior leader and I want this and I want that, and when I say jump, say how high on the way up. I believe God's changing that. And he does too. Goes on in verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. In this chapter in Thessalonians, we see the mention of a mother and a father. I believe it's the leadership God wants. It brings in two aspects. It brings in the cherishing and the caring with the concept of the mother. But here with the father, it brings out the challenge to grow. See, government of a mother and father is not just so that the kids can run around and create a mess and run riot. God is bringing the emphasis on family, the emphasis on raising up mothers and fathers. Because a mother and father will not only accept, but a mother and father will also look at a kid and say, you're way too awesome to behave like that. And I believe it's part of the maturity that God wants to bring to the body of Christ. That we're not workers that are given a list of, when you show up here, you make sure you look like this, you do this, you say this, and you behave. That's called religion, folks. God's bringing us out of that religious mindset. He's bringing us into family. Family is a safe place to belong and a safe place to grow. And that's why I believe God is emphasizing family at this hour, because that's where God wants to take us. Let's pray. Papa, we're so pleased that we can call you Papa. You're our heavenly Daddy. And Jesus, you're our elder brother. Help us, Lord, to pick up the understanding of what you're doing in the body of Christ. Lord, not so that we can judge those who haven't met what you are doing. Lord, in fact, we pray for them. We pray for a greater understanding, Lord, amongst leaders of what you are doing in your body, that you are calling us up into family and out of religion, out of factory living, and out of factory churches. Lord, I thank you for the change in structure that you are bringing before you release Holy Spirit in a greater measure to touch this planet. Lord, I know that you're wanting ones that can stand in their identity and all that you have made them to be at this hour, so that they can flow with you, Holy Spirit, in what you're doing. You need the whole body of Christ to be risen up. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for that change. And we speak that over the body of Christ, that you are calling us to family. You are calling us to belong. You are calling us to grow. You are calling us to stand up as a body, to carry our identity as your sons and daughters, that we might see this planet touched by the love of a father. We thank you for that. Amen.